Let me do that again. I am going to call the meeting to order for the Castro Valley Municipal Council, July the 28th. And I am going to ask Vice Chair Mulgrey to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And if you remove your cover and stand, please. Thank you, Vice Chair Mulgrey. We have roll call.
Yes, and as we conduct roll call, I'd like to acknowledge the new member, Angela Mota. Apologies that your name was not on the agenda, but I just want to welcome you to the first meeting of the Land Use Planning of Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council. So, Member Mota, call to order, if you could respond with yay for being present.
Hey.
Great, thank you. And then next up, Member Thomas is excused. Member Fiebig?
Present.
Member Davis?
Present.
Member Davini?
Present.
Vice Chair Mulgrew?
Present.
Chair Moore?
Present.
Okay, we've got six members. We have quorum.
Okay, thank you. Okay, this portion of the meeting is where anybody in the public that would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda tonight. If you do or would like to speak, you can approach the podium. If you fill out a speaker card after you're done, would be wonderful if you haven't done so. And what we'll do, we'll go to the room, and then we'll go to people that are online. So do we have any speakers in the room that would like to speak on an item that is not on the agenda? Do we have anybody online?
So if there's anybody online that wishes to speak on an item that is not on tonight's agenda, if you're in front of a computer, if you could please press the raise hand button at the center bottom of your computer screen. So far, nobody's raised their hand. Nobody's raised their hand.
I heard something.
Yeah, no, that's nobody. Oops. Let me mute.
That's our tech guy.
Okay, so nobody's raised their hand.
Okay. Nobody in the room, nobody online, so I'm going to go ahead and close this portion of the meeting, and we'll move on to the approval of the minutes from June 23rd.
I move that we approve the minutes of June 23rd, 2025.
Second.
First and second, any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Okay, so Member Mota, since you perhaps were not here at the last land use meeting, maybe you may want to say you abstain from the vote because you...
I abstain.
Great. Thank you. And then next up, Member Fiebig?
Approve.
Member Davis?
Aye.
Member Davini?
Aye.
Vice Chair Mulgrew?
Aye.
Chair Moore?
Aye.
Okay, we have 5-0 vote and one abstention.
Okay, great. Minutes are approved, and let's move on to the consent calendar. I have nothing on the consent calendar, so we'll move right on to item G, which is the regular calendar, and the presenter is here.
Yes, we will present shortly here. Aubrey Rose with the County Planning Department is here to present. I will allow him to do so in a bit. He is...
Aubrey, what I'd like to do after your presentation would be to go to public comment, and then we'll go to questions from council. And we'll, okay?
I'm sorry, Chair, could you repeat that, please? Could you repeat that?
Yes. What I thought we would do is after your presentation, then we'll go to public comment, and then we'll go to council comment for questions, and then... We'll We go to the council for an action.
Okay, great. Here we go. We will begin. And I will share the screen here so that we can all see. And then I will hand it off to Aubrey. Share. And then
Aubrey Rose, Alameda County Planning Department. This is PLN application PLN 2025-00078 at 20336 San Miguel Avenue. Proposal is a site development review permit and variance permit with the planning department to replace Alameda County Fire Station number 25 by demolition of existing building and construction and operation of a new two-story 14,500 square foot building, including a detached rear accessory building with a 10-foot rear yard setback where 20 feet minimum is required. Application was received at the department May 22nd. The property owner is the Alameda County Fire Department. We've got Deputy Chief Eric Moore on the line with us, if necessary, for any questions. And the applicant, Chris Ford, not James Halliburton, is here with us from BRW Architects as well. General plan is Castro Valley General Plan Public Facilities, and zoning is Public Facilities District. This project is exempt from environmental review under CEQA. It relies on a mitigated negative declaration, but what I meant to say is the lead agency was the Alameda County Fire Department and not the planning department. So here's the location at 20336 San Miguel Ave, Alameda County Fire Station number 25 on the east side of the street, just north of Castro Valley Boulevard. And zoomed into the site, so there is there's driveways on the left and right side, a wider driveway on the left side leading to the attached fire engine garage and the one-story building, which is about 8,000 square feet at the center, and the right side driveway leads to a rear staging area where there is a accessory structure in the right rear corner that's a training room that is not scheduled to be demolished as part of the project, just the two attached front buildings. So here's the existing building, just a few different angles of it. And on this slide, this is a view of some surrounding properties. Upper left is to the north or left side. So that's a multifamily residential property with a shared access. To the right is a one-story commercial building with a few different suites and a driveway to the right side of it. And right across the street is a park on the south side of the Castro Valley School. Briefly, in terms of parcel zoning history and planning history, the building was constructed in 1966. The rear detached accessory structure, that's a prefabricated classroom unit, was installed in 2019. Again, the application was received this year in May. And here's the site plan. The reason for the two required planning permits are in this zone where a project involves more than 1,000 square feet of new floor area constructed, a site development review is required. That's decided by the planning director. In this case, the proposal is for 14,500 square feet, a new floor area. And then a variance for an additional accessory structure at the rear setback 10 feet, where a minimum of 20 feet is required. As you can see, the existing building to remain is at 5 feet, and opposite the site to the east is a parking lot for the post office. Okay, moving on, there's some architectural renditions. Again, it'll go from one story to two, so roughly double in size. And the architecture is updated with its contemporary design that you see here. A few different angles in the lower right. And here are the elevations, front or west, rear or east. So you can see the engine garages have doors front and rear so that the trucks can be pulled into the rear open staging area. There'll be additional landscaping in addition to what is presently on the site, as depicted here. So in conclusion, staff recommends that the Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council recommend approval to the planning director of a site development review and to the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments of a variance to replace Alameda County Fire Station number 25 by demolition of the existing building and construction and operation of a new two-story 14,500 square foot building, including a detached rear accessory building with a 10-foot rear yard setback where a minimum of 20 feet is required at 2336 San Miguel Drive. That includes staff's report. Staff's available to answer any questions you may have. And again, Chris Ford, the architect, is here. And I believe we have Deputy Chief Eric Moore on the line if we can get him, if necessary. Thanks.
Thank you, Aubrey. What we'll do is we'll go to public comment and we'll rotate back and forth between the room here and folks that may be online. So if there's a person in the room, let's see here. Speaker cards. Item number one. Agenda item number one. That would be Randy. Please approach the podium. You have 3 minutes to speak. And there's usually a button on that thing where you turn it on, look for a green light or something.
Hello.
Thank you.
I think you got it there.
Yeah, they're speaking to the microphone. Everything's recorded.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm here representing the Castro Valley History Museum. I'm a local historian. And one of the comments is that I would like to see that the building contain some historic artwork. It would be nice if I understand, and looking at the plans, I looked at it pretty heavily, is the only artwork that there is available is a 3-foot by 20-foot plaque in the entrance there as on the way in. No murals planned for the building or anything like that. I think that there should have been a place, and or maybe can still be a place for a mural. And I believe the mural should be my biggest concern is that the mural contain some of our founding fathers and our first fire department. And I brought some photos of that to pass around, but most of the people in the town don't know who these people are, whether it's Pete Silmeski, Al Unser, Michael Stanton, or A.B. Morris. These people are all part of the first fire department. And I really feel like they're the founding fathers of our town. And this is the perfect spot. It's across from the park. It's close to downtown. It's close to where the old fire department was torn down. And I talked to the art commissioner, and they do have an instructions to bring some of that element into the building. But and I saw the stuff that was given to them, and everything was given was great, except it didn't include the photos and information for all that group that was the fire department. So that those people need to be included in the artwork for this building, and the artwork I'm hoping should include a large mural on the wall where everybody can see it, and not just some small little 3-foot by 20-foot plaque in the, on the way in. So I'm hoping that can still happen, and you can consider that. I'm looking at the building. It looks like it's got some brick that's just stuck on the building. I'm sure that some of that brick could be forego some of the brick for a larger a spot that might be a good place for your mural. Hopefully we're in the early enough stages where that might still be able to happen. I know there's some other fire departments going on, but really this fire department is really the logical choice for that, for more people to see it crossing the park, school, downtown, and stuff like that. So anyway, that and real quick, hopefully if they dig up the time capsule, I'd like the Castro Valley History Museum maybe to get their hands on that when you get to that point. And I'd also like to know what's happening with the mail flag deposit box that I installed there. Hopefully they're going to find a new location to put that as well. And I'll pass around a photo.
Thank you. Do we have anybody online that would like to speak on this item?
If there's anybody online who wishes to speak on this item, if you could please raise your electronic hand. We've got the applicant, Deputy Chief Eric Moore. Chief Moore, if you could please go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I apologize for not being in person. My daughter had a soccer tournament in LA, and so we're driving back. I'm sorry for not being there, but first and foremost, I just wanted to thank Aubrey for presenting tonight and delivering our updated plan. And then thank you for the gentleman that just came in and spoke in person on some of his concerns. It sounds like he's had a chance to talk to Rachel Osajima with the Arts Commission, and we definitely want to be mindful of the art as we move forward. And so my recommendation would be is if you could connect with me, and we'll be able to help work through some of those questions that you brought up. But to specifically answer a couple of those questions, we do have plans to remove the time capsule. We would definitely welcome your attendance or anyone else's attendance when we get to that spot. The flag drop box will be relocated on site there as well. And then we are trying to make sure that we represent our historic members of our department as we move forward with this building. And if there's any more specific questions, I'm happy to entertain them.
Yes, thank you very much. Chair, if there's any follow-up for Chief Moore.
Okay. We can ask him to hang on the line for a while. Hope he's not talking on the phone while he's driving. If he is, get his license number.
Okay, yeah. Deputy Chief, if you could please hold the line while the discussion continues.
Do we have any of the speakers in the room that would like to speak on this item? Only had one speaker card here. Do we have any of the speakers online that would like to speak on this item?
So if anybody else wishes to speak on this item, if you're in front of a computer, you can please press the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. If you're on a telephone, you can press *9, and that will let us know you wish to speak. So far, nobody's raised their electronic hand.
Okay, nobody in the room, nobody online. I'm gonna go ahead and close the public portion of this item and go to the council for comment. So let's go ahead and start with the council member Molda. Do you have any comments or questions for our chief?
Right.
Yes, I have questions.
If you could speak right into the mic, please.
Yep. Could there be any potential impacts on the local traffic during the demolition of the construction phase?
If the question's for me, for Eric, thank you for the question. We are going to work with the Public Works and the traffic division to make sure that there's no delays when we demolish the building. And obviously, we're mindful of the school right across the street and what impacts that will have. So that will be issued when we get a permit. That traffic pattern will be reviewed and approved through Public Works.
That's great, because I have to drive down that street every single morning.
Every morning. Thank you. We're really aware of the traffic that's there, and we want to make sure that we do our best to not impact the school right across the street. So thank you for that.
Okay, thanks. And my next question is, what are the specific details of the historic assessment mentioned in the application, given its demolition and replacement project? I do like the historical. That was great. I definitely want to see that. Art mural, time capsule, everything like displayed, maybe the possibility of the kids, you know, going there and getting educated on, you know, the historical piece. But I wanted to see what historical assessments were done.
So part of our CEQA process, we actually had to go through a historic site review to make sure that there is no historic component to the building that can't be sort of upgraded and evaluated, and we pass through that. So to get a demolition permit, we actually have to go through the historic approval and then through CEQA, and we pass through both of those processes. And we do want to, if you notice our new renderings of the building, we are trying to incorporate some of the older traditional looking fire station into this building to make sure that we sort of honor the past, but update it to a modern look.
Thank you. No further questions.
Councilmember Davis. We'll get on the other end here. I can hear you, but I'm sitting next to you.
I have no questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Davini.
Aubrey, can you put up page 4, which was the site map that you had in your small handout? Which one?
Excuse me, I shared the wrong set of drawings, but let me get to the right set of drawings.
Yeah, it's from today's handout.
Okay.
The mini version.
Okay, it's coming right up.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I'm after. Okay. I wanted this visually displayed because it's going to make my question that much easier. The a building on the lower right-hand corner is a training facility right now that is slated to stay. It has currently a 5-foot setback from the rear yard. You could just see the very edge of the building on the rear yard, and that is a series of storage garages. Cinder block building, very utilitarian, with a whole bunch of garage doors facing it. Nobody lives there, no residents there. Going further up the picture is the parking lot of the post office. The proposed accessory building that they're going to put in that upper right-hand corner currently has a 10-foot setback, where a 20-foot setback is normally required. My question is, would it benefit the fire department at all to have that be a smaller setback than 10 feet? It seems like they're gonna have a 10-foot hidden alleyway that can't be utilized. Might be a chance for somebody to climb over the fence of the post office and have some vagrancy back there. This council person would not object to a 5-foot setback on that building as well, if it's better suited the overall utility of the site for the fire department. So that's my comment on that. Chuck, are we just asking questions now, or is this our chance for comments too? I just have a couple of real quick ones. Okay, I'll knock them out.
So if it pleases the chair, the architect Chris Ford is here to respond to some of those design questions, if it pleases the chair.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Chris Ford, BRW Architects, representing the design to this state for the fire department. The back...
Hold on, I don't think, is that going through? We need to make that podium go up and down or something, because 90% of the people that are stretched that microphone.
No, that's fine. So Chris Ford, BRW Architects, we've been working on the design, specifically the site plan. It's a great question. One nuance of that back area is we've got the back of the apparatus storage building. We then have a raised planter that's 5 foot wide to take the detention, to store the water coming off of the roof. So if we moved, it'd be great if we had more space, but if we move back another 5 feet, that would put the bioretention planter right on the property line. That would definitely be give somebody the ability to hop from one side to the other. So we want to keep the 10 feet so that we have 5 feet of it for walkway, for maintenance, and then 5 feet of it for the detention planter in the back.
Excellent answer. Thank you for that.
Okay, thank you.
I really enjoyed reading the historical analysis of this and getting the history of the fire department. I thought that was really cool. Some of the battles they were having back there with the county on who's going to fund it and trying to put ballot issues. I found that really helpful. I have to agree with what Mr. Vanderbilt said, that to the extent that we can have any historical nature, that's going to be the spot. That's the main fire department. I'm anxious to see the old one torn down because it is really ugly. And this one has an awful utilitarian feel to it as well. Better than the old, but not real appealing. So to the extent that we can implement any historical stuff, I would echo that item. And then the last question that I have is perhaps more of a comment. I'd like Chief Deputy Moore to answer this if he can. The fire department gave you 16 conditions of approval and then another, half dozen plus items to follow up on. Are you having as much trouble as some of our developers are in dealing with the fire department in trying to get the new fire station built? And that's the last question I have. Thank you.
Council Member Devine, thank you for the question. And could you repeat it? I heard 16 conditional use comments, but I didn't quite understand the last. Could you maybe repeat it?
There was a list of conditions, outstanding conditions, and I understand that there are always outstanding conditions because there's back and forth. My question being is are you having as difficult time of dealing as some of our builders are? When I talk to builders, one of the greatest difficulties they have in any new project is getting fire department approval in a timely manner with reasonable conditions, in a workable fashion.
Yeah. So thank you for that. I think we've been working alongside our fire prevention side with Chief Tara on making sure that we're code compliant. And so I would say that while there's a bunch of little items to check off, most of those are pretty straightforward and required us to just sort of make sure we're following code. And so while it may seem like a lot, we also get a very quick turnaround. As I know, our fire prevention team works real hard to turn around the plans, typically within 1 to 2 days of an application. So we're aware of those and we've been working through them. And I think we've come through all the sort of the code compliance to make sure that we're compliant, because we also believe that it's important to build a code compliant fire station if we're asking our community to do the same.
Thank you for that. No further questions.
Thank you, Councilmember Faber.
I just wanted to say I'm in favor of the history part and some additional art or photos or whatever it may take to bring that to life. That's all I have.
Thank you. Vice Chair Mulgrew.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Aubrey. Question for planning staff. Will this body see the MND, the mitigated negative declaration? Is that planned to come back here?
We could provide that. We have copies from the fire department who was the lead on that. We've been here before without it for Villa Royale 6855 and also the temporary station, the CVCM building on Marshall, but hadn't provided that. I'm sorry, we could provide that. We've got copies.
If you would, please. Thank you.
And just to further answer the question, the staff report has the link online, which is, you know, these things are not thin. So they're up on the state clearinghouse, and that's an online way we can get you physical copies, but there's a link in the staff report to see it online.
No, I appreciate that. I'm curious as to what, for example, East Bay Mud would provide a copy of a mitigated negative declaration, but Alameda County Fire does not. I mean, that's...
So, you know, the body had asked for the paper copies from East Bay Mud, and that's why they provided them. Again, to print them, it's many people prefer just to see it online. If we can get you paper copies, if you wish, but they are available electronically.
Okay, I guess the real question is, staff does not feel it's important that the community has a chance to examine the MND.
Hey, Council Member McGrew, can I step in?
Please.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Rodrigo. We did post our CEQA, the MMD, to the 30-day webpage, and we actually have a copy of the CEQA up on our webpage as well. So we went through the formal process of going through a CEQA. In no shape or form did we try to not share the CEQA. So if you want a copy, as mentioned, it's electronically available, or we can print it. So again, we did post that for our 30-day comment period as required.
Thank you. Let me ask a different related question. Will this body see this project again?
No, this will go on to, depending on what happens here tonight, it'll go on to the West County Board of Zoning Adjustments and not return.
Okay. Just wondering how my fellow council members feel about the community not really being presented with the findings of the MND, if there's any thoughts. I'll go on, and you guys can think about that. I support the variance. Question to staff, how do you know? So far, I think a few council members that have spoken in support of adding historical elements, mural, artwork, etc. That would be covered under the site development review. Those thoughts would be communicated to the planning director, and at that point, the planning director can choose either to make that a condition of approval or not. Is that correct?
So one way that this council could see this item again is to continue this item with a recommendation that the applicant come back with drawings for the improvements that you would like to see, with some guidance of what the tenor and the direction you would like them to head.
Very good, thank you. So I would support that. That's all, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you. I just have a few questions. The historical portion of it, I think is very important to the community. Often we see artwork painted on walls that we wonder, you know, what does that have to do with the fire department? What does that have to do with anything, really? It's just nice pictures that probably belong in somebody's living room. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at a picture that someone handed me here. It's got an old fire engine sitting in front of it. And I think something like that would be so cool across from the park to see a fire station with what was a piece of equipment that these guys fought fires with, instead of some fancy artwork picture that really doesn't reflect, unless you could make it of something of significant vintage and somebody could bring back the history and put it on the wall. But instead of roses and bushes and grass and things like that out front, I think a nice vintage fire engine and stuff like that is much more attractive for an art exhibition of a facility. And without any real direction of what it's going to look like on the outside, you know, I would really like for it to come back and look at it with a little bit more of what it's going to be versus the art department picking something that, I don't know, it's not quite vintage. So I'm all for the variance, no issues there. But I would like to see this again back to the MAC, so we have a little bit more input, the community does, on what it's going to look like on the outside. So those are my comments on it. Any other comments from the council?
Mr. Chair, just one thought. You know, the zoning designation is PF, public facility, and I think the public's stake in that should be reflected in historical artwork.
Couldn't agree more. So somebody want to make a motion? How do we move?
I'm wondering if we can get a comment from the applicant if we continue this item, if it delays the progress in getting it completed.
Yeah, President Moore, thank you for those comments and message received. I think I would just ask Aubrey, you know, when the next time we could come in front of you. As you know, we've presented multiple times in front of you, and we definitely feel it's important to be, one, engaged in the community, and two, mindful of the CVMAC and what they mean to this project. So, Aubrey, can you tell me the next time that we would be able to come in front of this body to present an update?
So it's the second and fourth Mondays of the month. So it could be August 11, August 25th. There's a potentially another item, but we could try and work the schedule. September 8th, September 22nd, October 13, October 27, et cetera.
Sure. Okay. President Moore, I believe if we went for like August 25th, it would give my team enough time to work through some of these things and bring back an updated report to you, so we can have some follow-up discussion if that works. But I definitely need to make sure that we stay on track with our plans, and so I want to be mindful of that as well, if that meets your wishes.
That's great. There's a Good Guys car show coming up. You might find a vintage fire engine over there for sale.
Perfect. We'll put it on the top of our list to go by. Thank you for that.
And we'll call that artwork.
Got it.
Thank you. Do we have a motion on this item? Continue. The 21st.
I move that we continue this item to the August 25th meeting.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call.
Yes, the vote will be as follows. Let me get my member Fiebig.
Aye.
Member Mota.
Aye.
Member Davis?
Aye.
Member Davini?
Aye.
Vice Chair Malgru?
Aye.
Chair Moore?
Aye.
Okay, item passes.
Okay, I just want to make sure that the applicant knows when they come back on the 25th, it's to bring back some visual and you know, of what it's going to be, correct?
Correct. Okay. The direction is to work more on the aesthetic, harkening back to historical past of fire departments in Castro Valley.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you again, President Moore, and I'm sorry that I wasn't able to make it again, but I appreciate the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item number two. Item number two is an item that I'm going to step out of the chair and let Vice Chair Mogre handle this item. It's an item that I don't want anybody saying I have a conflict of interest on because I own a horse ranch. So I am going to step out in the audience. I will ask to come back and speak as a resident of the community. And I will hand my card to you. So, Vice Chair Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. All right, this item is an item submitted by Councilmember Davini. He's going to manage the presentation. After the presentation, we will open it up for public comment and then come back to the council for questions and a motion. So, Councilmember Davini.
Thank you, Vice Chair Mogru. Sorry to my council members that I don't have a fancy presentation slideshow. It's just not in my bailiwick, but I do have a memo here of the talking points that I'd like to go over. I did request this be put on the agenda. I live out on Crow Canyon Road. I know most of the operators of the boarding facilities and riding academies, and I know that they're just having a really, really difficult time in dealing with some of the regulations. And that was my motivation for putting this on the agenda. So just going right down my script, the premise is that I'm making is that the SDR site development review requirement for the continued use of boarding facilities is too costly, cumbersome, and time-consuming, and is a real burden on the operators. A key word in that is the continued use of boarding facilities. Right now, there is a five-year minimum review period on the site development reviews. And again, when I make a distinction between initial and continued, all development in Measure D lands in resource management are subject to site development review. So any new building that gets built has to go through the SDR process. And I think that's fair game. It's the continuation of the use of these that I think we should have a lower burden of review on. There are issues for sure related to boarding facilities, and the enforcement of this can be done through a number of oversight, through code enforcement, through public works, through animal control, and even through the Agricultural Advisory Committee, and I'll come back to that a little bit later. Right now, the land uses on agricultural property in Castro Valley, from a practical standpoint, number one land use on ag property in Castro Valley is for homes. By and large, that's just it. People buy out there to live out there. They like the country. They like the space. So it's home site. The second probably most prevalent use of ag property in Castro Valley is for grazing and livestock. I do that. I have sheep and cattle. It's not a profitable business. It's one that barely pays the property taxes. But it's something that's fairly easy to do. It gives you fire suppression, and keeps you in the game of ranching, if you will. We have some historic families from Castro Valley that have been in the livestock business for hundreds of years. All of them have day jobs. None of them are doing it full time in this area with the scale that we have. The next probably most prevalent use of agricultural properties in Castro Valley is the horse boarding facilities. We have five out on Crow Canyon. We have one out in Palomares Canyon. We have one on Coal Canyon. Another use is a winery. We have a single winery that I'm aware of over in Coal Canyon. And then we have some crops out Palomares Canyon. I believe there's one operator out there with a couple of sites that are actually doing crops. The challenges to us in Castro Valley of doing traditional farming, row crops, purely livestock, is a lot to do with our conditions, our topography. It's steep. It's not easy. It's not flat. Water is certainly an issue. We don't have it. Our soil quality, on my parcel alone, I range from decent soil down right on Crow Canyon Road where there's been hundreds and thousands of years of runoff to absolutely barren soil at the top of the hill. If I scratch the top of the hill, it's not growing anything for years because it's just rock. It's minimal inches of coverage. So it doesn't present, other than grazing, a great agricultural opportunity. And then the lot sizes, they're either too big or too small. Now, how can a lot size be too big for agriculture? Well, sometimes if somebody's got 100 or 200 acres, or 200 they could actually subdivide, but if it's hard to get your arms around that. It's hard to necessarily put that to productive use. If it was a 25 acre lot, you might be able to do different operations and have other options there. And of course, too small, we have some agriculturally zoned properties that are just tiny and really can't support commercial use. So I bring that up to say that the horse boarding facilities is a real business on our ag land that has a chance of making a little bit of money, has a chance of supporting it. Under the ag zoning, there's 11 allowed uses. They're just straight up allowed. I'd like to read through those real briefly, and I'd like the council members to consider, as I'm reading through those, some of the impacts that these other agricultural uses have, because that's one of the main purposes of having an SDR, to evaluate ongoing impacts, be it environmental, be it traffic, be it other public nuisance, so on and so forth. And so the first of the 11 uses is a single family dwelling. The next one is crop, vine, tree farm, truck garden, plant nursery, greenhouse, aviary, hatchery, or horticulture. I could think of a few impacts from those functions. Item C, raising or keeping poultry, fowl, rabbits, sheep, goats, or similar animals. And again, all of these functions, none of these require a site development review. These are straight up permitted activities. The grazing, breeding, or training of horses or cattle. So that's a little bit different than the riding facilities or the training facilities. Even though it mentions horses there, that is specifically limited to grazing, breeding, or training of horses or cattle. I don't know how you train cattle, but that's how the regulations read. And again, that does not require a site development review. So you could have a whole bunch of horses out there, perhaps a retirement community for horses that are grazing, that don't go through the burdens of what our operators have to go through. A manure management plan and just various and sundry other requirements that are requested every time an SDR is renewed. The next one is winery, microbrewery, and olive oil mill. I could think of some impacts of traffic, of fertilizers, of just general farming concerns that can come up in that application. Fish hatcheries or rearing ponds, public or private riding or hiking trails. I suppose riding or hiking trails, that could mean riding horses, perhaps riding bicycles, riding motorcycles. I could not get a definition in any of the statute of what a riding trail was, but I could see that having a huge impact without any SDR requirements, without any oversight. One secondary dwelling unit is allowed that does require an SDR. Occupancy of a agricultural caretaker dwelling does require an SDR. Boarding stables or riding academies does require an SDR. Agricultural employee housing does require an SDR. So most of the just straight up allowed uses on ag land don't require any permission or oversight. There are other regulations that come into play, but from a planning department standpoint, they're permitted, okay? In addition to that, there's 25 conditional uses. I will not bore you with that, but that's, you do have to ask permission for that. And then in addition to that, there's 6 accessory uses that you don't need to actually ask permission for. The next section has to do with the right to farm. I gave you all a little pamphlet. Alameda County passed this ordinance. This didn't happen by accident. Alameda County at one point said, farming is important to Alameda County. Preserving our ags opportunities are important to Alameda County. It's a recognition of the contribution that this has to our diverse overall community with housing, with industry, with all the different uses. It's saying, hey, we have ag. And ag can be a nuisance and ag can be problematic. And we want you to know that. So they actually passed a requirement that anybody selling a piece of property within 2,000 feet of any property that's zoned agricultural has to disclose that, has to disclose that they're nuisances. And they do a good job of listing what those nuisances can be. If you'll bear with me for half a second, noise, odors, fumes, dust, smoke, burning, vibrations, insects, rodents, operation of machinery during any 24-hour period, use of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, rodenticides, fertilizers. I could see some impacts on that. The statement in the question and answer section is agricultural activities you may experience can include but are not limited to the following: noise, odors, fumes, dust, fertilizers, smoke, pesticides, insects, farm personnel, truck traffic, visual impacts, nighttime lighting, operation of machinery, and the storage, warehousing, and processing of agricultural products and other inconveniences or discomforts associated with the protected operations 24 hours a day. They specifically list in this that this includes horse boarding, training, or breeding, saying that all of these activities can occur on agricultural lands. So I think the Board of Supervisors made a concerted effort to say it's important to us and it's kind of a nuisance, and we're supporting it. With that in mind, I told you I'd come back to the Agricultural Committee. That's another way to solve agricultural disputes. If there's a neighbor that is tired of it, the Board of Supervisors put the Agricultural Committee in charge of mediating those and working through any conflicts that may occur. So my specific recommendation is that the Castor Valley MAC recommends a change to the zoning ordinance allowing boarding stables and riding academies as approved use in agricultural zones, and that the said recommendation be forwarded to the Planning Commission for their consideration and recommendation. I would hope that the Planning Commission, if they took this item up, would then make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. Perhaps my proposal should be modified that we make a direct proposal to the Board of Supervisors. I'm happy with that, if anybody would like. But I think it should definitely go in front of the entire Planning Commission representing all of Alameda County. I've gone through the farming experience as it relates to Castor Valley as I know it. There's other issues within the county that the Planning Commission could research and opine on. And that concludes my thoughts.
Thank you, Councilmember DeVinny. At this point, I appreciate that. We'll go to public comment. Do we have anybody? We'll start with folks online.
So if anybody wishes to speak on this item and you are online in front of a computer, if you can please press the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen. We have one person so far, Andrew Turnbull. Andrew, if you could please unmute yourself, you have 3 minutes.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay, I'm Andrew A. Turnbull. I'm a resident of Sunol in Alameda County, a resident for most of my life. I'm also the executive director of the International Horsemanship Foundation. As you can bet, I'm going to be speaking on behalf of the proponent here. But one of the things I want you to be aware of that a lot of people don't know is that the horse industry contribution to our state is $11 billion a year in revenue and contribution, which means even if you don't see the horses and you don't see the people enjoying the horses, they are there, we are there. And in fact, there are more horse owners in the state of California than any other state in the union. A lot of people will say, well, what about Texas? Well, they have more horses, but we have more owners. We are the seventh largest county in California. What do you bet that the horse industry, which I can get, you know, I don't have those numbers with me right now, but you can imagine that the impact in Alameda County is pretty big. I know I spend a lot of money on my horses. I would encourage you to support ag and especially horses in Alameda County. And I would encourage you to put forward this gentleman's proposition. I support it. Thank you for your respect and attention, and may the horse be with you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. We have someone in the room, Eric Remsen. You have 3 minutes.
Is this working?
Yeah, yep. Yes, it's on.
Is it working?
Yeah,
it
is. Yes.
Okay, got to get down. Hi, I'm Eric Remsen. I represent Shiloh West. I'm here to comment on the site development review and the hidden portion, which is the cost, which people, you hear me okay?
If you could just like physically lift the mic right up to you.
Here we go. Just a little history. Shiloh West started to be built in the 1970s. We bought the ranch in 1999, applied for a operating permit for 150 horses. It took a while to get it because we had to go through all the hoops and stuff, traffic studies, environmental reviews, etc. But we finally got it in 2002. And at the end of our site review with the people that were involved, we were told that from that point forward, it would basically be we'd have to pay a fee to have an ongoing operation. This is 2002. In 2014, we hadn't seen anything come by. And so I made a call to the county to ask and see what's going on. They said, well, we're evaluating you to see if you meet the requirements for the Williamson Act, which has to do with taxes, has nothing to do with horses, but I mean, I guess it does have to do with horses, but the basic thing was the money. And so they says, we'll be in touch. Well, basically we waited around for a notice. And finally, about 5 years ago, we got a notice, assistant deceased, you're this and that, you know, like we were bad people and stuff. But we were waiting for them to come around and send us our bill, and we were going to pay it. And now we've come into a site development review, which wasn't even in the picture when we bought the ranch. And we missed our opportunity because what was going on with this evaluation with the Williamson Act. So now we've got to come up with permits for all the buildings, which, you know, this has gone through five owners since its conception. they're not laying around on the table or anything. So the only people with the permits are the county. So we're doing our best to try to pull all that together. But meanwhile, they say, well, we've got to review your sewer system. And basically, it took about a year and a half to get a new sewer system approved, and it costs us about $200,000 to install. And including survey, design, installation, et cetera. And that's quite a burden for a horse ranch, which doesn't make a lot of money. And on top of that, we're still trying to get together all these permits. It's a horse ranch, right? A lot of things gone on over 50 some odd years, and we're trying to get it together here.
Mr. Remsen, can you?
We're doing our best.
Could you wrap up, please, your 3 minutes, sir? Thank you.
Yeah, and basically, I'm just letting you know, it's been a disappointing process between the time and the money that we've had to spend. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have any speakers online?
Yes, we do. Bruce King. Bruce, if you could please unmute yourself. You have 3 minutes.
Hello, this is Bruce King from Castro Valley. Over the last 15 years, I've reviewed many conditional use permits and site development reviews for the non-urban areas, the canyonlands, the ag areas. Thank you, Councilman Member Deviney, for the explanation. I did find it interesting that there was no written analysis for this item, because you would typically have some written analysis before you vote on things. We've got many kinds of operations occurring out in these areas. We've got dog kennels, we've got equestrian facilities, we've got people with small event centers. We've got vineyards serving wine to guests. We got people storing construction equipment. There's all kinds of uses going on in these areas. So I'm kind of wondering why we're singling out equestrian facilities here. If we've got issues with the site development review process, that should be reviewed in light of all these different types of operations and things that are occurring out there. Equestrian facilities are not agricultural operations. You could compare them to a dog kennel facility. I realize they're totally different, but they're both animals. So I find that these site development reviews and conditional use permits are a good way to anchor what has been there and what's being proposed to be there. And a periodic review is good because things change and you need to know what was there, what was permitted. When I've reviewed some of these before, the county canyon gave me a list of all the structures and things there and what has a permit, what doesn't have a permit, why it doesn't have a permit. Maybe it was, because before the permit process even existed, but it's an important process. If it's required too often, that should be something that applies to all the different types of operations that occur on these lands. And I think we should question why equestrian facilities are being singled out here as the only operation that should be a concern. I think it probably needs the planning department to assess this further and come back with some analysis if this is a real concern. And I do appreciate the fact that it can get costly and it can get time consuming. And so those are all things that should be considered. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming back to the room, Jeanette Baldwin, please come on up. You have 3 minutes.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I know I got here a little late. My name's Jeanette Baldwin.
If you could speak right into the mic, I'm so sorry. The mics are really good.
My name is Jeanette Baldwin. I own property out on Crow Canyon. We run a boarding facility. I've been there since 1996. A little rebuttal to Bruce. The reason that equestrian facilities are being singled out is because part of agricultural use is breeding, training horses. It just goes hand in hand that boarding them would be part of it. You know, that it's like you're splitting hairs is my response to Bruce. But what I'd like to say is I love living out in the canyon. I love having my horses. I love taking children and watching them experience the loyalty, the trust, the excitement of learning how to ride, having an animal respond to you. There's just nothing like it. And the cost and the angst of jumping through all the county hoops makes it takes some of the joy out of it. It really does. We need to make it something that, just like the county says, it's just something that needs to be in the community. It needs to be a forefront. It needs to be protected. And the people that are running them need to have the support of people like you guys. It's, well, I could go on and on, but I won't, because, you know, I can't watch my language that long. So I just wanted to share that with you. And I appreciate your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. We have anyone else online, Rodrigo?
So nobody else has raised their hand online. Again, if you wish to speak on this item, if you can press the raise hand button at the bottom of your screen, that will let us know you wish to speak. So far, nobody's raised their hand.
Is there anyone else in the room that would like to speak on this item? Please come on up, and if you could fill out a speaker card on the back table afterwards and hand it to staff, that would be great.
Hi, my name is Abolino. I own Apple Creek Farms. These plant sign reviews are not good. When I bought this facility with my wife, I thought we win the lottery, but it's not. We barely make it with all these expenses, taxes and everything, and the county and on top of everything. When I got my permit, it was insane. On top of that money that I spent, my stress and I went through with my whole family, it was just like, why did we buy this property? You know, I own horses. I grew up in a ranch. I born in a ranch in Mexico, and I came with a dream. Now when I got my dream, it's like, it's not a dream anymore, you know? So with all the money that I spent, they made, so you guys know what I went through. They made me open my 4 septic tanks, open my leach fields, get special inspector. Between the county and the special inspectors and pumping the septic tanks, I spent over $25,000. I probably don't even make that in a year. So, like Eddie says, you know, we barely break even. And agriculture and horses, you guys got to remember, they're closing a lot of stables around. And what the kids are going to do? You know, you probably got nephews, grandkids, or whoever that comes to our facilities and ride the horses. And we're going to be running out of facilities pretty soon. I'm just saying something to think about it, you know, about these visitors that we have. I understand about the person that says about reviews and everything is good and everything, but they make it so hard. If I got to go through what I went through the first time for my second one, I'm probably going to sell my ranch and, you know. So I'm just letting you know what I feel and how it is, so you guys can think about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone online?
So no one else has raised their hands online.
Okay. Do we have anyone else in the room? Mr. Moore. You have 30 seconds. I'm just kidding.
Am I on? Yes, I am. My name is Chuck Moore, and I am a horse owner and a facility owner. That's the reason why I recuse myself from setting up here on this vote. And I will tell you that the old saying goes about a guy that won $1 million in Las Vegas, and I go, what are you going to do with it? He said, I'm going to farm until it's gone. Well, that's not unlike the horse facility. I happen to also sit on the agricultural board for the county. I've been on the agricultural board for 12 years now. And we're constantly looking at ways to improve agriculture. And when you listen to some of the horse owners across the county or facility owners come in, they're very concerned about the cost of operation today and the challenges they're having. The document, in order to do an SDR, I printed off one of the people that applied for one, and it's about 35 pages. And it can get very, very expensive. A lot of these farms are very, very old. So when you want to go in and you want to say, how many buildings do you have? Where are the buildings at? Where's your septic system at? Where's your well at? I mean, it goes on and on and on, the requirement and the requests from the county for facilities that are often 50 years old. They've been there forever. Measure D was passed in 2002 to enhance and preserve agriculture. In the Castro Valley lands, we don't have a lot of grazing. We have horse facilities, and we certainly have one winery. So if we want to encourage more horse facilities, we need to make it a little bit more friendly for them to operate. It's very challenging today. There is, I will tell you, 19 years of doing this, there is no money. If my wife didn't have the passion for it, I would probably have been gone. But we were blessed from the fact that a young man that lived with us from England, and now he's on the U.S. Olympic team in Castro Valley, riding horses. Matter of fact, he's at your place, Eric, James Alliston. And how many Olympians do we have in Castro Valley? So the horse facility does provide a venue for some really neat things. We're going to have Channel 2 come in next week or a Friday this week. And one of the things I talked to them about, how many communities do you go to that have agriculture? The size of Castro Valley. So I'm just saying that let's take a look at agriculture. Let's not scare these folks off, not run us off. Do you realize that we have a 2-acre building envelope out of 100 acres? I mean, come on, how hard do you want to make it difficult to make a facility operate? That's what I'm asking. Because if we want them to stay, we need to come up with a little bit more flexibility for them. We need to understand the cost of an operation and understand that these folks are in it because of passion, because they love what they do, not because they're making a dollar. So let's take that into consideration as you guys take a look at this, please. And thank you for the time.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
There's no one online that has raised their hand.
Anyone else in the room wish to comment on this item? Okay, we'll close public comment and come to the staff or the council for comments. I'd like to get a full round of comments in before we entertain a motion. And I would also like to read just for a second the agendized item. Council vote that the Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council request that the Alameda County Board of Supervisors direct planning department staff to consider allowing horse boarding facilities and or horse riding academies as permitted uses, not requiring a site development review application for horse boarding and or horse riding academy. That's the agendized action item. We heard from the presenter tonight that the recommendation is a change to the zoning ordinance allowing the boarding stables and riding academies as an approved use in agricultural zones, and that recommendation be forwarded to the Planning Commission for their consideration and recommendation. So would love to hear from the council. There are expeditious ways of doing things, and I think we've seen one tonight. So I'd like to start the comments with Councilmember Fiebig.
Well, thank you, Councilman Devini, for bringing this up. I think it's and clearing up some of the data that we're presented with. I think it's important that we look at this agricultural and horses, and the facilities out in our canyons are incredible. And the people who run them shouldn't bear the cost so highly that they lose money to own a facility like that. I think we should do whatever we can to relax the restrictions and maybe streamline some things that, as someone in the audience said, so we're not splitting hairs, and make this more doable for the ranchers and the people out there on the canyon lands.
Thank you, Councilmember Fiebig. Councilmember Davis?
Thank you, and thank you, Councilmember Devini. Did, as usual, excellent work on providing background. I have a couple of thoughts. I'm for simplifying things as much as possible, and as long as we can stay within the general rules of law. So I'm in favor of the motion or the action of single development review requirement being discontinued for continued use of boarding facilities. I'm also interested, being that this is sort of unique that it's been MAC-driven so far, we haven't really heard any input from the planning staff as to their thoughts on this matter, which I would...
So we don't have any yet. So staff would take the direction from the Board of Supes in order to follow through. So the recommendation from the MAC tonight is if your MAC wants to vote to have the Board of Supes have staff look into it, right? We haven't looked into it at all because we haven't gotten direction for the board to look into it.
So this is basically requesting the Board of Supes to direct staff to review it and bring it back to us.
Correct.
I support that.
Thank you. Councilmember Mota.
Thank you, Councilman Devini. That was great. I also request that the Alameda County Board Supervisors and the Direct Planning Department staff consider allowing horse boarding facilities and horse riding academies as permitted use, requiring a site development review application in the agriculture zoning district and planning development zoning district for all unincorporated Alameda County. I move.
I was going to say, I would ask that we hold a motion until all the council members have been heard from. But okay. Thank you. But hold okay. on to that.
Thank you.
Councilmember Devini, please.
I'm fine with either motion. I understand what was agendized. That works. I think mine works as well. I don't know if it was properly noticed. We could have more discussion on that. I'd like to hear what the vice chair has to say about that. Mr. King brought up an excellent point. Why was I signaling out equestrian facilities as opposed to dog kennels or any of the other 25 uses that are potentially allowed under conditional use permits? And I think it's important to understand the reason why is because this is the only game in town. I talked about other agricultural opportunities in our territory, and there really aren't any. So I think equestrian facilities, we're hearing from some owners here that say they're struggling, but it's the best thing that we have, and it's the biggest use that we have of our lands other than just home sites. I think it has an opportunity to affect most people of the public and to allow them to enjoy our wonderful area where we live and to get recreation and to have a bonding with horses. It's so much a part of our history. Some of these ranches go back to the 60s and 70s. I see Mr. Vanderbilt here, and I believe he grew up in Castor Valley. I moved to Castor Valley in 1962 as a one-year-old baby. And I can remember growing up, and we saw horses everywhere. We saw horses in regular neighborhoods. People had a little barn in their backyard. When you go up Walnut, Ewing, Vineyard, all of those areas, of course, some of those had access to trails, the East Bay Mud property and the Ten Hills Trail. But other ones, people would just ride through the streets. So the historical analysis for the fire department talked about a poultry being a big agricultural product. Well, right behind that has been horses. And it's always been a big part of our identity. Our rodeo is over 100 years old, I believe just barely over 100 years old. So I singled out equestrian facilities because I think they're the most important contribution that we have on our ag lands, and that they're the most impacted. The application process that they have to go through has the greatest expense, delay. It's much more difficult for them than some of those other 25 uses have to go through. So that's why I do appreciate the question very much, but that's why I've signaled out the equestrian facilities.
Thank you, Councilmember Devinney. I too am absolutely, completely, unequivocally in support of not requiring site development reviews for equestrian facilities and horse boarding facilities. Best question is how do we make it happen? What's the shortest path to getting it there? And I really appreciate the comments and the energy from everybody that's been here tonight. The presenter's request to move it to the Planning Commission. Personal opinion is the Planning Commission carries a little bit more weight than the Castro Valley MAC. Might be able to move it a little bit quicker, depending on how we get there. I don't know. Certainly, the Board of Supervisors will need to weigh in to direct planning staff at some point, I believe. Let me ask Rodrigo that. So, an item that goes to the Planning Commission, let's say this item goes to the Planning Commission to change site development review requirements for horse boarding facilities, would it go from the planning, assuming it was favorably received, would it go from the Planning Commission to the board as the action item states, or would it go to the planning director?
So right now it's not in our staff's work plan.
Correct.
And we need to watch what we do.
I understand.
So we can't take direction from each individual MAC doing many, four different things, perhaps five different things. So we need it all to come through the Board of Supes. So my recommendation is that this vote, whichever way it goes, could be taken to your supervisor, who could bring it up to the Transportation Planning Committee, mm-hmm. which is then the official body for to direct staff, right? So we would, District 4's office would say, okay, well, staff,
right.
I've gotten a recommendation from the MAC that is my representation in my district. I agree that it should be looked into, and then we would budget staff time and resources to look into it.
And what would be the danger or the negative aspect of having a stamp of approval from the Planning Commission before that happens?
Well, so the Planning Commission could take it up, but we would not be doing any analysis. I mean, the Planning Commission chair may be agendizing it, but we would not be doing any analysis. Again, we don't have any work plan budget for it right now. So we need to figure out what line item to put it into. So the chair could bring it up, but there would be no, just like tonight, there would be no analysis for it.
Say that again, the last.
Just like tonight, there would be no staff analysis for it.
Right.
So it may be that the Planning Commission chair wants to agendize it, but we would have that at the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
But there would be no recommendations from staff.
Understand. Okay. But the Planning Commission's recommendation could likely go to T and Transportation and Planning mm-hmm. Committee of the Board.
Right. And right now you're adding
yes.
you know, a layer before it gets to the TMP, mm-hmm. before it gets to the board.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments, questions?
Let's just take the most expeditious route. And it may not be going through the Planning Commission. Get it on someone's work plan, and so we can address it.
Ray, can you speak louder, please?
Yes, I can. No, I'm just encouraging that we take the most expeditious route, and that if that is getting it directly to the board so that they can direct staff to allocate the necessary resources to review the matter and get it back to us, let's do it that way. And it sounds like taking it to the Planning Commission, and then it'll probably be kicked back to staff at some point anyways before it goes on to the board. So to me, it just sounds the most expeditious route is getting it directly to the board.
Other discussion on that?
No, I agree.
Okay.
Straight to the board.
I would gladly entertain a motion.
I make a motion that we essentially pass the agendized recommendation. Do I have to read the whole thing, Vice Chair Mulgrew?
No, okay. You don't.
Thank you.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Roll call, please, Rodrigo.
Sure. The vote will be as follows. Member Mota?
Aye.
Member Fiebig?
Aye.
Member Davis?
Aye.
Member Davini?
Aye.
Vice Chair Mulgrew?
Aye.
And Chair Moore is abstaining, so the ayes have it.
All right. While the chair is assuming his chair, you want to introduce item number three, Rodrigo?
Yeah, so basically this is just a quick staff update to this Municipal Advisory Council. It's been quite a long time since we've had any more discussions on the Castro Valley Specific Plan update work that has been going on with this council, as well with Alameda County staff and the land use consultant, Lisa Wise Consulting. But I wanted to give you just the update that based on the recommendations from it's been since November when we last had a formal presentation from the staff and the land use consultant to the Castro Valley Council, as well as the Castro Valley community. What was originally presented was not liked by, it seemed, 95% of the community members for various different reasons. And we have gone back to allocate, again, reconsider the recommendations, reconsider the work plan, and are actually budgeting and increasing the budget to the consultant and taking that recommendation to reallocate funds for further study to get back in line with what the Municipal Advisory Council wishes. And actually, we need board approval to increase funds, and we're actually taking that to the board. They're actually dormant in August. They're back online in September, so we actually have to wait till September to go to the Board of Supes and then get the additional resources to have Lisa Wise Consulting switch their recommendations. So between last November and now, we've actually been speaking to the subcommittee of the specific plan update to make sure that we are closer to alignment with what we've heard from the community, as well as the subcommittee's interpretation of what the community wants, to make sure that what we are bringing back to the to this community and to this council is going to be more in line with what the majority of the community wants. I have to say that we're not going to be in line with what everybody wants, because at the November meeting, at the November hearing, there were opposing views, varying views from advocates of more multimodal transportation, biking, walking, more advocates of ease of vehicle transportation. There were varying opinions about what to do with the Castro Valley BART station relative to what Castro Valley BART itself wants done with their parking lots. So all of those issues are going to be, are being analyzed, but also the presentations that come out are going to be, and I just want to be fair with the community, that the presentations are going to be still presentations that some in the community may consider not what they personally want, but what we're trying to do is present what the majority of the community will want, what the majority of Castro Valley thinks is right for Castro Valley's future. And so again, we're literally going back to the drawing board and trying to be more in line with what the community wants. So again, that takes additional resources that we're requesting from the Board of Supes. That's going to happen in September. And we anticipate that after that, we will then be coming back quickly to this MAC board with public notifications to the community on recommendations more in line with what the majority of the community had wished. So I just wanted to make sure that I let everybody know that things have been going on in the background. It seems like nothing is happening, but things have been going on in the background to get ready to represent more in line with what the community responses were as of late last year. So that's what I have to say. I didn't have a formal staff report. It's I'm literally sitting on a draft of the updated scope of work from the land use consultant. I didn't want to publish it until it's presented to the Board of Supes as a potential contractual agreement, and that will be the first time we release it to the public. We will make it available for everybody then. And that's what I have to say. So hopefully you can be assured that we have been working in the background to move this along. It's just we have to redirect the recommendations to be more in line with the comments. So if there are any questions that I can answer.
I have a question.
Well, let's go to public comment, and then we come back with questions and wrap it up, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and is there anybody in the room that would like to comment on this item that's on the agenda, item number 3? Do we have anybody online that would like to comment on this item?
If anybody's online that wishes to speak on this item, if you could please press the raise hand button at the center bottom of your screen. If you're on a telephone, you can press *9, and that will let us know you wish to speak. So far, nobody's raised their hand online.
Nobody in the room? Nobody online?
Correct.
I'm going to close this portion of public comment and go to the council. Councilmember Mulder.
So you did talk about the timeline and next steps in the plans development and adoption process. You said September is when you're going to get a resource.
Yes, we anticipate that we're presenting to the Board of Supes an updated contractual agreement with a land use consultant that's doing the work for us. So that's when they would release the funds for us to continue.
Okay. And then how long after that would you anticipate the resource, like do the...
So we anticipate that we'd be coming back a month later. Like
a month.
October.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you said there'll be an opportunity for additional public input on after like October.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
That's all I had.
It was nothing. Councilman Devaney.
Thank you, Chair. A couple of quick questions. We have a lot of really smart policy wonks in this town, and they are clamoring to get this done. I would like to do a good job of researching this. Can I get some advice either from my fellow council members or from you, Rodrigo, as to how I can best research this? Let me give you a couple of questions. The prior meetings, have any of those been recorded Were there any minutes that were taken? Were there presentations? How can I get my hands on background information on this subject so I can contribute to when it comes before us?
Sure. Well, let me back up. There is a webpage where all the meetings have been posted, all the summaries for all the meetings have been posted, that is online and it's being kept up to date, as well as all the documentation that's been presented so far, the initial background studies for existing conditions in Castro Valley, the drafts of the framework recommendations. All of those documents are online. They are, I can look it up right now and give you the web page.
It's on the planning page, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's on the planning department page.
Yeah,
is it not?
Yeah. There's a link to it. Yes, it's on the planning department webpage. There's a link to it. I will actually want to post it so that the public sees it. So this is the web page. I am going to share the screen so folks at home can see it. So this is implementation of Castro Valley General Plan. This is basically the specific plan update. And it's the... So CVG, so Castro Valley General Plan, implementation.com, and this is linked from the county planning department's webpage. And so basically what you want to do is go to phase two, which is the actual downtown specific plan, and so the prior meetings were listed. The slash means that they've already happened. There's links to the documentation if you hover above, for example, staff report and presentations, etc. So that's the project background information.
Thank you for that.
Councilor, did we need completed? Okay. Councilor Faber.
No questions at this time.
Vice Chair Mulgrew.
I have no questions, thank you.
And I have no questions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. This is not an informational, an action item, just informational. So I'm going to go ahead and close this item and move on to the chair's report. I really have nothing other than this Friday, I believe Channel 2 would be out to Castro Valley to have a look at our community. And then subcommittee reports on economic development, ad hoc subcommittee on the central business district plan update. We have any one of those? Okay, no updates. Council announcements. We have any council announcements? Okay, do we have any comments or reports? No. And staff announcements or comments or reports?
None other at this time.
Thank you. So I will adjourn this meeting. Thank you.